Turn with me, if you have your Bibles with you, to Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 14. We are going to read a lot of scripture today. The Word of God speaks. Amen?
Amen.
And it just so happens that this week I have a lot of scripture in this message. It will minister to you, trust me. I want to talk to you today on the topic of Know That I Am Lord. Know that I am the Lord. I am noticing as time drags on this year, it's kind of weird. It's like it's dragging on in one respect, but also I can't believe tomorrow is November. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I don't know, some kind of catch-20 or something. But people that have been standing in faith, their faith is wavering, and some of them have given up. No hope for this nation, they say. And I'm here to tell you, there is hope for this nation. God is not done with the United States of America. And you can take that to the bank. So, I want to address that today. We'll glean encouragement from the Word of God. Again, Ezekiel 37 is our text, verses 1 through 14. Beginning to read in verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And this is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you, and make flesh come upon you, and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet as a vast army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, This is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for your word and we pray for your anointing on your word today. Pray that every heart and every mind is open and fruitful today as we hear your word and as we meditate on it. Lord, I pray that as I bring the word that you put on my heart for today, that Lord, you'd hide me behind the cross of Calvary and step forth, manifest yourself in this place and reveal yourself to every single heart here today. And put a watch on my mouth that I would only speak the words that you have ordained for this morning, not a word more or a word less. And all according to your will and your design, in Jesus' name. Amen. In the vision in verses 1 and 2 of our text, Ezekiel saw the dry bones of Israel and Judah in a valley. He was ordered to prophesy to the bones that they would come to life. Verse 2 said the bones were very dry. The bones were very dry. What does all this represent? What does all of this represent? With force, the prophet presents the news that Israel can hope to live. A revival is possible. The coming of God's Spirit brings life. The same thrilling truth is still needed today in a world that has dry bones scattered all over, especially in our nation. What we are in need of is prayer for the Holy Spirit to come with His quickening power and bring a genuine revival to sweep through our nation. You see, just like Israel was dried up, and the valley was covered with very dry bones, according to what we just read. In a sense, in our nation, the body of Christ as a whole has dried up. It's full of a lot of dry bones. It has happened over the past 50, 60 years maybe, where the church lost its voice. The church lost its voice. The leaders in our government began to tell the church that the pastors could not preach the truth any longer. Could not preach on things that violated what they wanted to have in our nation. When I think back, I think to 1973, when they legalized the killing of babies in this nation, and since then, there's been over 60 million babies killed in this nation. 10 times the amount of people that were killed in the Holocaust. And the people say nothing. When abortion was legalized in 1973, the church basically laid down and said nothing. And now the blood of every child that has been aborted in the womb is crying out from the earth. Just like Abel's blood cried out against Cain. Every one of those lives that was snuffed out, that blood is crying out before a holy and righteous God. So first of all, we need to understand we are guilty. Thank God for Jesus Christ. But we are guilty. And we have great reason to repent. You see, the church stopped preaching on sin and started saying, well, we believe sin is between you and your God. Well, while that's true, you can't use that and aren't supposed to use that statement as an excuse not to preach about sin. As a matter of fact, it's been my experience over the last almost 40 years that I've been born again and walking with Jesus Christ that the preacher that takes that stand is hiding something. They don't want to preach on sin, don't want to deal with sin, because they're hiding something in their own lives. Can I get a witness? That's the way it works. So, the body of Christ lost their voice. Our government said, you'll lose your 501c3 if you preach anything that's political. Come get it. I don't need a 501c3 piece of paper so that I can preach. I can preach whatever I want to, whenever I want to, and I do. And there's absolutely nothing they can do about it. Nothing. Oh, they could kill this body, but they can't kill my spirit. They could throw me in a cell with some other people, but there'd be a revival in that cell. Because I'm still going to preach. Because it's what God's called me to do. So my point is this. We've got, our nation is likened to the valley of dry bones, and we need an awakening. We need a revival. We need an outpouring of God's Spirit so that people stand on their feet again. The bones start rattling. We need people to prophesy, this is not over yet. God has this nation in the palm of His hand, and He's going to use this nation greatly again. Because the bones are starting to rattle. If you're here and you believe in prophecy, you've got to stand on the prophetic words that have been coming.
Yes.
The prophetic words, God has brought many, many prophetic words about this. He has spoken to me. I've been proclaiming it. I continue to proclaim it because He hasn't spoken anything different to me. So all I can do is hang on to what the last thing was He spoke to me. And I'm hanging on for dear life. I'm like a dog on a bone. Because He spoke to me. And I won't let it go. Because God is faithful. He watches over His word to perform it. When He speaks, it's going to happen sooner or later. Our problem is we're impatient. Just because it takes a few months, I said we, I'm including me. This is hard for me too. There's no way I thought this was going to take this long. I really didn't, but I'm still hanging on to God. And I'm exhorting you to hang on to God. There are bones, dry bones, very dry bones, scattered all over. There are dry bones in the churches in this nation. There are many churches that ought to hang up a shingle outside their front door that says Ichabod. That name means the glory has departed. Because the glory has departed out of a lot of churches a number of years ago. And they're continuing to operate according to man's design. But Jesus Christ left that church years ago. I'm talking about the churches that won't take a stand against abortion. There are churches and denominations that will not take a stand, will not even allow a pro-life preacher in the pulpit in the church. Those churches are right here in this town, too. Right here in this town. Won't take a stand. Won't stand up for life. A person that will not stand up for life has no life in them. What I'm saying to you is there is no way a true believer can be pro-choice. There is absolutely no way. It can't happen. Our God is a God of life. Thou shalt not murder. Life begins at conception, not birth. Somebody hearing what I'm talking about? See, the good news is the bones are starting to rattle. The prophetic words have gone forth and they will come to fruition. The first time He spoke the word of God in our text, the tendons, the flesh, and skin came upon the bones. Guys, we need to learn to prophesy. I thank you, Lord, that you're moving in this nation. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to raise up. You are working on raising up godly leadership. We need to prophesy these things. Speak the word. The second time He spoke the word of God, He prophesied the wind or the breath or the spirit. This pictured the restoration of the nation of Israel. What God has impressed on my heart and why I'm bringing this message is just like He brought restoration to Israel, He is going to bring restoration to this land. Praise God, every professing believer should be ecstatic to hear that news. Everybody should be ecstatic. The restoration of a people that were spiritually dead. See, those dry bones represented people that were spiritually dead. That's why I'm saying there's a whole lot of dry bones all over this land. We are living in a day where people that are in every form of leadership, it's become popular for them because the percentage of believers in the country to say, I'm spiritual. But I want to tell you something. Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit. And when you examine the fruit, they are not following the Spirit of God. They're surely following another spirit. Because if they're following the Spirit of God, then what you will see is what comes from the Spirit of God, which is fruit, good fruit in their lives. Then you see they're regenerated by the Spirit of the living God, which is what happens when we come to Christ. There are a lot of people in this nation that have never come to Christ. There are people that know nothing about the Word of God. We're living in a time where the majority of people in this nation are biblically illiterate. They don't open their Bibles. They don't know what the Word of God says. We have a responsibility. It says in the Word of God for us to study to show ourselves approved. Isn't that right? Study to show yourselves approved. So we're called to study the Word of God so we have an understanding of who God is. This book with 66 books in it is God's love letters to us. It's a roadmap for our life. Everything that we need to conduct our lives is in these pages of this book. And might I say something? I like electronics too. I'm not techie. But I love the last few years since I started preaching off of my tablet. It's a wonderful tool. But where am I going with this? I also know that it's very handy to have a Bible app on your phone. I know it's handy for you to have a tablet, whatever. Those electronic devices are great. But I'm telling you, when I'm studying the Word of God and reading the Word of God every day, there is no replacement for a Bible with a binding and paper in it that I can jot notes in the edges and I can underline things that you just do not get that. I've got the first Bible. It's been rebound and recovered. I've got the first Bible I got after I got born again. It resides on my desk in my office here. And I use it when I'm here quite a lot. But my point is this. When I flip through that thing, there's things that God spoke to me in the margins, dated. And see, you don't get that. You miss out on that if you study the Word of God in electronics. Is somebody picking up what I'm putting down? I'm not trying to put anybody, I'm trying to encourage you to have a Bible that you study in and that you mark up and that, you know, that you can reflect back on. You just don't have that opportunity when you're only using an electronic device to read the Bible. Am I making sense? I just had to get that out there. Something I've been thinking about. We should notice the parallel in our own generation, obviously. receiving the word of the Lord. 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 through 17. 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 through 17. Saying to Timothy here, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Here we go, verse 16 and 17. All Scripture is God-breathed, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. If we are going to really get on with God and His will, we've got to hide the Word of God in our hearts. Because what happens when we do that? Here's the list. All Scripture is God-breathed. And it's useful for what? For teaching. For rebuking. You know, people don't take rebukes very good today. Has anybody else noticed that? Oh, I love you, Pastor, but don't you ever try to correct me. Don't you cross that line. Don't you ever try to correct me. Because if you do, I'm just going to go on down the street or across the river to another church. Well, okay. God has called me to be a pastor, which is a shepherd. And sometimes people need rebuke, so, que sera, sera. So for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, see, Christians today don't want to hear that. There's four things there, but they only want to hear two of them today. Today, all we want to hear is teaching and training in righteousness. Oh, bless God. Hallelujah. Bless God, yeah. Tell me how good I am, Pastor. Tell me how good I am. But don't rebuke me and don't bring any kind of loving correction. Just give me training in righteousness. Did you know that you can't be trained in righteousness without having the rebuking and correcting? It's why parents need to spank their kids sometimes. You know what I'm saying? They didn't correct it. And so, sometimes it warrants a slap on the butt or whatever is appropriate. I'm not talking about abusing your kids. I'm talking about correction. I'm talking about a rebuke. There are many children today that have never been corrected by their parents because their parents let the TV and the computer raise them and their phones. Never been corrected. Guess what? They never find themselves in a good relationship with God because when God starts correcting them, they're done with God. I've seen it over and over and over again. Just like they're done with the pastor that brings correction. When God brings correction, and He does, how many of you will be bold enough to say, God has corrected me a few times? I better put both hands up. Seems like I'm always getting it. It's been that way my whole life. But I'm not the guy I used to be, praise God. So, notice the parallels between the nation of Israel and where we are at today, the valley of dry bones. Second, receiving the Spirit, the breath of God, in the Hebrew it is ruach. Ruach. Okay? That's the breath or the Spirit. In the Greek it's pneuma. Hebrew is ruach. Greek is pneuma. Pneuma is the Greek word where we get the name pneumatic. How many of you know about pneumatic tools? They're operated with compressed air, right? Okay. That compressed air can create a really dynamic force, correct? Well, how about it? When we get filled with the pneuma, we have a dynamic force working within us. Amen?
Amen.
In Revelation 11, verses 1 through 12, if you will turn there with me. If not, listen carefully. Revelation 11, verses 1 through 12. Said, I was given a reed like a measuring rod and was told, go and measure the temple of God and the altar and count the worshipers there. But exclude the outer court. Do not measure it, because it has been given to the Gentiles. They will trample on the holy city for 42 months. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. If anyone tries to harm them, fire comes from their mouths and devours their enemies. This is how anyone who wants to harm them must die. These men have power to shut up the sky so that it will not rain during the time they are prophesying. And they have power to turn the waters into blood and to strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they want. Now when they have finished their testimony, the beast that comes up from the abyss will attack them and overpower and kill them. Their bodies will lie in the street of this great city, which is figuratively called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. For 3.5 days, men from every people, tribe, language, and nation will gaze on their bodies and refuse them burial. The inhabitants of the earth will gloat over them and will celebrate by sending each other gifts, because these two prophets had tormented those who live on the earth. But after the 3.5 days, a breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and terror struck those who saw them. Then they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. And they went up to heaven in a cloud while their enemies looked on. Guys, that's intense. A breath of life from God entered them. That's what we need to be crying out to God for. Crying out to Him to send the breath of life, His Spirit, to revive the people that are dead, spiritually dead, to revive the dead bones, to see sinews and skin come back on the bodies, and to see the bodies stand up, and there be a great army, God's army, that stands up again. And the body of Christ, the church, having her voice again in the world, but especially in this nation. The church needs her voice back. It's why I've been telling you over and over this year, friends, stand up and speak up. Speak the truth. Stand up for what is right. Call out what is wrong. Speak out and stand up. Amen?
Amen.
John chapter 20, Gospel of John chapter 20, verses 21 and 22. John 20, verses 21 and 22. We see here again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He ruah on them. He pneuma. It's not pneuma. In the Greek, you pronounce the P, it's not silent. Pneuma. Okay? He pneuma on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Notice he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Listen, guys, I know he was speaking to those that were there with him, but that commission goes throughout time. If we are in him, we are commissioned to go forth with the good news of the gospel, and to be the voice of reason, to be the one that is speaking the truth when all the lies are flying around, to be like John the Baptist was, crying out in the wilderness for people to repent, because Christ, the Savior's coming was at hand. Well, Jesus' return is at hand, guys. It's coming soon. I don't know the day or hour. If I said I did, I'd be a heretic. I don't know. But I sure sense it getting closer. And when I look at what we have been given in Scripture to discern how close we are to the end, when I look at Matthew 24, and I look at how much prophecy has been fulfilled, it's getting pretty close, guys. I don't know if it'll be in my lifetime, but I think it's possible. And I'm getting pretty old. Yeah. It's possible. If I don't see Christ's return, there's a really good chance my kids or grandkids are gone. There's a really good chance. Now, I don't know that for sure. I don't. I'll just be honest with you. But when I look at what Scripture has to say, what I'm saying to you is he could return at any time. God has spoken to me that there... He spoke to me years ago that there was going to be one last great outpouring, and I'm waiting for that. Because I really believe after that huge outpouring on the earth and people are swept into the kingdom, I think he's going to return for his bride. My opinion. Believe it, not believe it, I don't care. Just telling you what I think. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. Do you understand we are sent? Will you be a mouthpiece for God? Will you speak the truth in the midst of all the lies that are in the earth right now? That's who God's looking for. God's looking for people that will stand up for him and speak up for him. See, he allows all the things that are happening in the earth that are unpleasant and ungodly. The things that are happening in our nation, too. Because he wants us to come to repentance. He wants us to get uncomfortable enough that we actually turn to him and really do repent. And repent doesn't just mean, "I'm sorry." True repentance means, "I'm sorry, Lord. Help me, I'm going to change direction. I'm going to change direction. I'm not just coming to you saying, 'Forgive me,' and tomorrow I'm going to go out and do the same thing again. I'm saying, 'Lord, empower me to change direction and live the commitment I'm making to you today.'" That's what true repentance is. Acts 2, 1 through 4. We're almost there, guys. One more scripture after this one. Bear with me. Acts 2, 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Sounds like Ruach to me. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Guys, we're reading from a lot of places about the Ruach and about the Pneuma, about the breath of God, about the Spirit of God, about the power of the Spirit of God. Do you believe it? Do you believe that God empowers us with His Spirit? Have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? Are you baptized with the Holy Spirit and operating in the gifts of the Spirit? Do you have the gift of tongues? If you do, are you praying for interpretation? See, because all of that is supposed to be available for those who want it, who are in Christ. Yeah. See, when I got saved, I didn't know much. I had been to Sunday school as a kid, but I checked out when I was 16. I was given the option whether to go to church or not, and I said, yeah, I'm skating. So I learned a little bit in Sunday school, but not too much because, see, I was the guy that was throwing spitwads, picking on somebody next to me. I was that guy. I'm just being real. I'm proud of it. Fact is, I had to spend a lot of time repenting when I got saved from a lot of stuff like that. I'm just being real. Okay? But I got to the bottom and ended up with a pastor at my house that shared the love of God with me, and my heart was broken, so I responded to that message. And he joined hands with me, laid hands on me, anointed me with oil. Of course, he asked me if he could put oil on me. I said, how much? I was checking him out. I wasn't too sure about this whole thing.
Oh, Lord.
I can't help myself. I'm just being real. My wife was there. She'll testify if you want her to. How much oil? He said, oh, just a little bit on my finger. Well, okay, that'll be all right. Well, he prayed with me. And I'm telling you, power of God hit me like lightning, and there was this warmth that started at the top of my head when he put his hand on me, and it started going down me like oil, and it was warm on the inside, and it went all the way down to my toes, and all of the hatred I had for all the people that were on my hate list, the ones that if I ever got them to go hunting with me, there was going to be a hunting accident, all of them, okay? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was a bitter man. I was a very bitter man. And all of that went down. And then when it came back up again, it all came out of me. And I felt reborn. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I felt reborn because immediately I was a new man. I just knew. Well, that happened. And I don't have time to get into that whole story right now. Maybe someday God will lead me to share my whole testimony in a service. I've got quite a testimony for those of you who don't know it. But just believe this. It was only 1 week later that I was sitting in the pastor's office that had prayed with me to receive Christ. And I was sitting in the office with him, and he started talking to me and explaining to me that there was more. I said, more? Because I was flying. I mean, I was flying. And he said, oh yeah, there's more. And he shared with me about the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And He said, it's available to anyone who wants more of God. I said, there's more? Really? There's more than this? He said, yeah. I said, well, bring it. Just bring it. So he anointed me with oil again and prayed with me and led me in a prayer to ask Jesus to baptize me with his Holy Spirit. And man, I got hit with lightning again. And I started gushing. My tongue started going. I started speaking in other tongues. I didn't even know anything about that before that. It wasn't something I conjured up. I'm telling you, it started gushing out of me, gushing through me. So 1 week after I got born again, I got baptized with the Holy Spirit. And if you want to talk about an animal, that's when I started, I was out tackling people. Do you know Jesus? They're looking at me like I got a 6'5" guy on top of me. Yeah, I think I want to know him. Power. Power, guys. The body of Christ should not be weak because Jesus paid the price for every one of us to be able to be empowered in the Holy Spirit. Every one of us to walk in power. We see that throughout Scripture. But what happens is a lot of people have explained it away. A lot of denominations have been telling people for a long time, oh, that went away. Those gifts aren't available for today. Wrong. Show me in the Word where it says those gifts aren't available today.
Yes.
It don't.
That's right.
In fact, what it says is they are available today. And we're supposed to operate in the gifts because those are the power gifts that God gives us to be able to live on this earth successfully according to His will. So that we have a voice. We need our voice back as believers. I feel like preaching today. Is it okay if I preach?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I've got one more verse. Acts 2, 16 through 21. One more group of verses, I should say. I really didn't know when I prepared this message I was going to share all that about my personal testimony, but I just felt the Spirit of God leading me. There again, the gifts of God, He directs us. Somebody here needed to hear that testimony, I guarantee you. Somebody, maybe several, I don't know. But I know He prompted me to share that, so somebody needed to hear it. Verse 16, no, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Does that say some people?
No.
Does that say on pastors?
No.
Does it say evangelists?
No.
Does it say on people that are really special?
No.
Does it say on the wealthy?
No.
It says on all people.
Yeah.
All people. Check this out. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How many who cry out will be saved?
All.
Wow. See, we're supposed to expect that. But our expectancy that's supposed to be this big has been talked out of us by people that don't know the truth and made our expectancy very narrow. When you come to church today, what did you expect to see? A 6'5" wild man up here proclaiming the Bible. What did you expect to see? The truth. And what do we do once we have heard the truth Then what do we do with it?
Share
it. Okay. Act on it. Apply it. Revelation with application brings transformation. Never forget that. When you get revelation from God and you apply what you've learned, revelation with application brings transformation. You want to be transformed into a lean, mean, devil-wrecking machine? Get in a revelation and act on it. Guys all look like a deer, like deer in headlights today. I must have preached too hard or something. God is so good. And He is so vast. Our unbelief is the only thing that makes Him small. Doesn't that make sense? It's our unbelief that minimizes God. Because He's massive. And He's all-knowing. And He's all-powerful. And He sent Jesus. And just like He sent Jesus, Jesus is sending us. God is doing what He's doing right now in the earth, just like He has done many times in the past, like He did in Israel, as we read. The revelation that comes in the dry bones, the valley of dry bones. He says, then you will know that I am God. See, there's a lot of people that know about God. But I say it's a small amount of people that really know Him. And we need to know Him. We have to know Him. That happens through being born again. That's the only way it can happen. Being born again, we will know Him. In Matthew, when people came to Him and said, we did this and we did that and we cast out demons in Your name and we did all this and we were all that and boy, we were really good people. And He said, away from Me, you evildoers. I never knew you. Never knew you. And you need to understand the word that is translated new there is a very similar word to the Old Testament word when Adam knew his wife. Intimacy. It's an intimate relationship with our God. Am I making sense? Are you picking up what I'm putting down this morning? It's about an intimate relationship with our God. It's not just about being palsy like we are with people that we call friends but keep it an arm's length. Does somebody know what I'm talking about? You know, the ones that are half of the time on the verge of being cut off on Facebook. I'll be frank. You know, them. So. Isn't that right? All right, I'm going to pray for you a minute. Just stay seated. I've been ordered to stay up here. I'm going to stay here. All right, let's pray. Father, we've heard Your word today again. Look on each and every one of our hearts. I pray that every heart here is open to You to come in like a flood and empower us, Lord God. We don't want to be weak. We want to be strong in You, glorifying You. I pray that this message takes root in our hearts, that we've gotten revelation, that we will make application, and that we will be transformed. We give You praise for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.